It wasn't the potter where the problem lied. It was the clay that was marred. And so he works with each of us. And our problem is we're all sinners. That's why Jesus came. I've had people say, "Preacher, we go to church where they don't deal with the fact of our sin. We like that. We don't like to be have sin pointed out." But that's the whole purpose Jesus came, because we are sinners. Amen. Turn, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 18. I asked Diane to sing that this morning because we are going to preach today and tonight upon the potter's house. This morning we want to preach upon the potter's house. Tonight we want to preach upon why there is still hope for America. Now, putting this in setting, notice you find this in the book of Jeremiah. Most of you know that Jeremiah, God called Jeremiah while he was in the womb. He knew Jeremiah. He knew what he was going to use Jeremiah for. And Jeremiah had a unique ministry. Sometimes in the ministry you get discouraged because you're not seeing people move like you want to see them move. You're not seeing things happen like you want to see them happen. But imagine being like Jeremiah, loving a people, giving your heart and your life for a people, and yet never seeing anybody move, anyone respond. All they get is criticism, and the only reason is he loves them enough to tell them the truth. Now, he'd been preaching to them up to this point, and God gave him a vision. And we'll look at that vision here in a moment in the last chapter, in chapter 17. Then in chapter 18, he sends them down to the potter's house. He sends them there because there's a lesson for Jeremiah, who was getting discouraged. And he loved the people, had their interest at heart. He didn't want to see them go into captivity as God was proclaiming that they were going to go into. And yet, that's where they ended up, because they failed to heed the warning. But Jeremiah had such a burden for these people. That's why they call him the weeping prophet. That's why in the book of Lamentations, his heart was poured out upon the people, that he did not want to see these things come. I don't know about you, but I love America. And my heart grieves when I see some things happening in America that are happening. When I see what sin has done to so many people, how ignorant, how blind, and where they're headed on the road to destruction. Many of them going down the wide, broad road and with lights flashing, and they're so distracted that they can't see the truth, nor will they take time to hear. We'll look a little bit at that tonight, because really chapter 18, the potter's house, has a national implication. But this morning, I want to take it as an individual implication. And let me say this, I meant to say earlier, it's good to see you. If you're visiting, it's good to have you visiting with us this morning. We want to pray for all those. We still have some sick. We have some traveling. And then we have some that is a quarantine. And they're still yet quarantined away from things, the things that they've run into, work and places, other places. And so just remember each and every one of them. Also want to remind you, those that the teachers of school and the board members will be meeting tonight after church, just a few moments. And also let the church know, I talked to the mayor, and he said within just a couple weeks, they will be setting our water meter down here. Those of you don't know what I'm talking about. Ever since we've been here, the water meter has been up on 27. It runs through another person's property, has all kinds of rocks and everything else over it. And if it were ever burst, we would never find that water line. And so we've been after them the whole time to try to get us a water line here. And there was no line that run. And so they're putting a new line through here. And so we're fixing to get a water line, and we'll run it in. We've had a tremendous amount of problems because of it. And so we're so thankful for that. And I appreciate the mayor and city council and them working so hard and diligently to make that happen. And especially to be able to have access to it. So we'll have a probably have some meeting with the men. We'll sit down. We'll talk about what we're going to do from the meter to the church and to the school a little later on. Jeremiah chapter 18. Keep your Bibles open. I want to show you a few things, if you would. Verse number 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." Now, if you'll notice, Jeremiah, he said in verse number 12, because he was discouraged until he saw, he said, "And they said, the people, when they saw the potter's house, they saw the vessel broken, they said, there is no hope." Sometimes people feel like there is no hope in life. I really believe a lot of what we're seeing in the inner cities is from people that has no hope. They are not seeing the potential that they have in their lives. They do not see the potential of living in America, a land of the free, that allows all kinds of people everywhere to have opportunity to make it. We have such a tremendous blessing to have the jobs, economy, and all the things that we have in this nation that we've never had to watch our children suffer, go hungry at night, starve, beg for food, and so forth. And it's amazing. And they don't understand the potential they have. This morning, I want to share with you the message to individuals from the potter's house. This is not going to be a popular message. I'll show you why in a moment. But stay with me a minute, and let's look just a moment back in chapter 17. Look at a vision that he gave to Jeremiah. Look, if you would, in verse number 12. Jeremiah got to see the same thing Isaiah saw in Isaiah chapter 6. He saw a throne high and lifted up. And you know what Isaiah said? "Woe is me." You know what he got to see? He got to see the real God. Not this play God. Not this granddad God, not this Santa Claus God, not this spare tire God. He got to see the true living God. And when he got a vision of God, he said, "Woe is me." Job, in all the things good that God had to say to Job, when he saw the real God, he said, "I repent in sackcloth and ashes." In other, he said, "I'm a man of unclean lips." He realized and he recognized when he saw God for who he was. Zechariah, he got to see God in his throne for who he was. One of these days, and it'll be too late, too many people does not understand who the potter is. And they're going to see him for who he is. And it's going to be too late. Notice the message of this potter's house, if you would. Verse number 12. He said, "A glorious high throne from the beginning is a place of our sanctuary." Listen. God, are you listening? God is either thrilling to you or threatening to you. He either thrills your soul to know that he is your rock, and upon him you stand. He is your refuge. He is your tower. He is your place of safety. He is whom you trust. Or he is whom you neglect. He is whom you want to go away. He is whom you don't want to think about and don't want to have anyone telling you anything about him. Because some way in your mind, you think that when you die, it'll all go away and you'll be forgotten. You'll never be forgotten. You'll either spend eternity in heaven, you'll spend eternity in hell. It depends what you've done with God and Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now look, if you would, at this vision. The prophet went down after he saw this vision into the potter's house. And as I said, he was discouraged. He was wondering if there was any hope for Israel. And he began to watch. And God told him to go and watch the potter. And he went, he watched. And he saw him molding. He saw him, he saw the clay being marred. And he saw him remaking the clay. And what he did, he recognized that the potter had the ability to take something that was greatly marred and form it back again into something useful, a vessel of honor. Now, notice he would. The people also saw him take some of the vessels that had gotten hard, that was rejected, and he told them that those that reject him and would not submit to him and let him mold them, and they harden themselves. Verse number 2, chapter 19, he told them, go forth into the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I tell thee. And say, hear ye word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle, because they have forsaken me. Now listen to me. You think that you can war with God? You think that you can win with God against God? The Bible says, who can be against you if God be for us? If God's for us, who can be against us? He that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. But there's a lot of people thinking that they can fight and win against God. Look if you would in verse 10 of chapter 19. Then thou shalt break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee. In other words, he took the people down there. He had a message for the people of Israel. And he went down there and he took a bottle and he broke it. And the Bible says in verse 11, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them in Tophet till there be no place to bury. Now, so God said, Jeremiah, I want you to go down to potter's house. I want you to look and watch the potter. And I want you to notice, as he watched the potter, he saw him mold, he saw the clay marred, he saw him reshape it again, and he saw the ability the potter had to do that. But he also said, now I want you to go down to the valley and take a vessel, and I want you to break it in front of the people and say, I'm going to break you. You reject me, you forsake me, I'm going to break you. And I'll break you, and I will send evil upon you, and I will reject you because you've rejected me. Now, notice if you would, the secret of the potter was not the fact of the clay, but the fact that he could take the clay, as marred as it was, and make something out of it and remold it and so forth. So this morning I want to preach upon the potter, the wheel, and the clay. I want us to look just a few moments at three great things the Bible points out that Jeremiah saw. First of all, I want you to see the potter. The potter had the ability, had the intelligence, and he had the know-how of how to make a vessel. He knew everything, and he was capable of doing that. Not only that, but the wheels, that Jeremiah saw was an instrument used by the potter to help put pressure on the clay to bring about the results that the potter wanted. Then, of course, the clay, as worthless as clay was to most people, is the very thing God wants. You may look and say, you'll never amount to anything. You will if you submit yourself into God's hands. I don't care how marred the clay is. The potter can take it and change it. And he can remold it. Now stay with me a minute. And so what the potter wants, all he wants is clay. He knows it's marred. He knows that there'll be issues in our life. People said, well, preacher, one of these days I'm going to come to God when I straighten my life up, when I get my life right, when I get this right. You're waiting too late. That's what God does. He takes that and changes it. Now, look at a couple of things real quickly. Now, Jeremiah, he saw the potter. He saw him have the clay. He saw him crush the clay. He saw him remold the clay and come to a finished product. Now, first of all, Jeremiah noticed the interest that the potter had in the clay. Listen to me. Every person here, God knows everything about you. He knows every hair on your head. He sees every sparrow when it falls to the ground. He knows, he already had your members written in his book before you was born. While you were yet a substance, Psalms chapter 139. While you were yet a substance being made, he already knew who you were going to be. In Isaiah chapter 45, he already knew that he was going to use Cyrus to take back Israel out of Babylon's hands and defeat Babylon. He already knew he was going to use him 200 years before he was born. He already called him by name and said exactly what he was going to do. God has great interest in every single human being that's ever been born and that ever was to be born has been aborted out of the womb. And by the way, with abortion, you can call it whatever you want to. You can use any excuse you want to, woman's right, choice, whatever you want to use, but it's still a baby that's been killed, and if you're the one that done it, you have been the one that killed that baby. And you will be the one that will have to answer to God for that. Amen? That baby was of great interest to the potter. Every clay that exists, he has great interest in. He has a purpose for you that he wants to see you turn out. He has a vision in which he wants you to be able to be displayed. One of these days, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, you will be a trophy of grace in ages to come. Set up on heaven, being able to sing praises to the Lamb of God, we will be trophies. Because we have been we submitted our clay and let God use it and make us into a vessel of honor. As dishonorable as we were in the clay, he made us a vessel of honor. Why? By his grace. So first of all, you have to understand the potter has great interest in every clay that sets before him as he molds it, as he makes it. He wants you to be successful. He wants you to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Now, not only that, the attention that he pays to it, the pressure he puts upon it. You say, well, why does he cause me pain? He's trying to mold you. He's trying to make something out of you. And listen, if you never get to know any pain in life, and sometimes parents, they try to keep their children from ever facing any pain, rejection, and those type of things. They're going to have that all their life. Teach them how to deal with it. Life is full of problems. In this life, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, you overcome the world. Man is born of woman and full of sorrow, trouble. Life is full of troubles. It's pains. Why does God allow this to happen? He's trying to mold you. He cares enough about you, he wants to mold you. And let me tell you this. If everything just went all hunky-dory to you and you just live life without any problem, you never even look at God. It's when God begins to press you down. The Bible says tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope that you need not be ashamed about. And what happens is God puts his thumb on you and he allows things come in your life to press you. Why? Because he loves you. He wants you to make something of yourself. You say, I don't understand why God let this come into my life. You may not understand it, but God has it all under control. Now, look on. Not only does Potter have interest and attention, he has the power to do whatever he wants to do with you. Think about this. What Jeremiah saw was he saw wheels. And he saw the potter put the clay in the wheels, and the wheels would turn. Sometimes they turn fast, sometimes it turned slow, sometimes it turned fast, sometimes it turned slow. But it was all regulated by the potter. He is in charge of everything going on in your life. You hear me? Stay with me a minute. What Jeremiah saw was God on his throne is in charge. He's a sovereign God in charge of everything. As a child of God, nothing comes to you unless he lets it enter into the hedge. Can't touch you unless God allows it to. Somebody said, I don't understand. I heard somebody say the other day, well, God had nothing to do with this virus. Are you ignorant? God either sends the famines and pestilence, or he allows the pestilence to come. Yep. Nothing happens in this world that Almighty God is not still in control of. Amen. And you may think that God, you may think you're sitting in your little corner and God doesn't even know who you are. He knows everything. He says, David said in Psalms 139, when I get up, he knows it. When I sit down, he knows it. When I think, he knows it. When I say something, he knows. He knows everything. He's all around me. You know why? And by the way, boy, I love this where we say, well, circumstances. The potter's wheel. Well, this just happened so I was just lucky in my life. The potter's wheel. Well, my life is just unlucky. Potter's wheel. Sometimes it might be a trial of faith. Sometimes it might be chastening rod of the Lord. Sometimes God may allow other things happen. You say, well, I just can't believe in a God who will allow bad things to happen to little innocent babies. There'll be a payday. Somebody's got to answer for those. Don't worry. Let's just quote God. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. So it's not up to you. Let God deal with it. He's much better to do that, okay? Now, look at the clay. What wonderful potential the clay had. Even though it was marred, the potential that he had to be able to be put up on a shelf and be a vessel of honor. And so we look here and we see that the potter has a principle about him. He has a purpose. And Jeremiah saw the principle. Jeremiah saw the purpose. But the key was to see the potter. You see, the principle without a seeing the potter, just see the principle, it's a very scary thing. To see God and know that God can do anything he wants to at any time he wants to is pretty scary.
Boast thyself not of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. Don't say, I'm going to go into that city tomorrow. Say, if the Lord wills, I'll go in that city tomorrow. Listen, God is in charge. You follow me? It's pretty scary to know that God knows everything about you, isn't it? Pretty scary to know he knows all your thoughts. Some of you may be thinking a bad thought right now. He knows it. Some of you may be saying, oh, shucks, I don't want to hear this old stuff. He knows that. What Jeremiah saw was there's one in charge of everything. He sits on his throne, and he's capable of taking clay and doing with it what he wants to. So we look back here, and he's got a principle. And so it's scary, as I said, without knowing the potter. The purpose that God has is scary without knowing the potter. But let's look just a few moments. And the principle is this. God is creator. You believe that? You believe God created everything? As your creator, he has absolute right to do with you whatever he wants to do with you. You know what Job found when he went through all his things? When he got to the end of it, he found three things. God has a right, God has a reason, and God has a reward for those who allows him to let it happen in their lives. But the principle is this that Jeremiah saw. God is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants to with any vessel he wants to. Paul wrote over in Romans chapter 9, he can make one a vessel of honor, one a vessel of dishonor. If he wants to. Now, think about that just a moment. And think how scary it is if you don't know the potter to know that he can make you into whatever he wants to make you. Now notice this. He turns the wheels. And so here he takes old clay and he can make it. You say, well, preacher, that worries me. Not if you get to know the potter. It's amazing what he can take and make out of clay. You want to know? Turn sometime, not today, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And just go down person after person after person. And notice what he did with a piece of clay. You know the only thing they had? A lot of them wasn't born with anything. Matter of fact, let's just say a couple of these things. He took a little shepherd boy, made him king. Amen. He took a little prisoner boy, put him over Egypt under Pharaoh. He took a woman, Mary Magdalene, possessed with seven devils, a prostitute, made her into a woman that loved and worshiped God. He took a guy in the tombs that run around tombs, cutting himself, breaking chains, a lunatic, a maniac, someone that was a demon himself, and put him sitting on his right mind, clothed, praising the Lord. You know who has ability to do that? Only the potter. He has a principle about him. He is a sovereign God. Those that come to him, he will no wise cast out, but you must come. He invites the whole world to come. Whosoever doesn't come. No one will die and look at God and say, you didn't give me a chance. He said, I invited you to come, you wouldn't come. If you'd come, I wouldn't have turned you away. You say, you don't know what my life consists of. Come to the potter, he can change it. I don't care what you've been into, he can take your life and change it around. And make you a vessel of honor. And put you on display like Hebrews 11. You say, preacher, I can't live a perfect life. None of us can. That's why we're marred. It's not the potter that has faults. It's the clay.
But it's a potter's ability to take clay, because he can do whatever he wants to, and he has a right to do whatever he wants to do. Not only that, and by the way, that's what Romans chapter 8, verse 28 means. For we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. It doesn't matter whatever God's allowing to come up on you. He's doing it to help you out. And you just can't see it sometimes because it's above your pay grade. But he has a right. Somebody said, well, I'm different than the clay. I have desires. The clay don't have no desires. I have a will. The clay don't have no will. Yes, God himself gave you the choice to choose. But you'll be accountable for the choice that you make. Keep your finger there a moment. Turn with me to Isaiah real quickly. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter number 29. Paul quotes in chapter 45 here in a moment. He quotes this over in Romans chapter 9. But I want you to notice, if you would, in Isaiah chapter 29. Notice, if you would, in verse 16. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as a potter's clay. For shall the work say unto of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he hath no understanding? Look on, if you would, in 45 real quickly. 45. Notice, you would, in verse number 9. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou, or thy work, he hath no hands? Listen. Our school systems have been teaching, have been trying to teach that man came from everything in the world except God. They've been trying to take God away from being creator of the world. And they've been trying to take him from being maker, our maker. But my friend, he's your maker. And you better not try quarreling with your maker. You're going to come up on the losing side of it. So therefore, what you need to understand, when we think of God and we think about the principle of God, he is God. And he does whatever he wants to do. You don't dictate to God what he's going to do. He dictates to you. That's why we call them commandments. Amen. Because he has a right to command us to do whatever he wants us to do. Yep. Amen? His purpose. I am what I am because of his pressure. Look at you would in, back in Jeremiah chapter 18, notice verse 3. He says, then went down to Potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. He's doing something. Listen to me. Please listen. God is not playing games. He's not up there laughing, amusing himself. And by the way, let me just say this, and some people get mad, but I'll say it anyway. From Genesis to Revelation, not one sermon was ever preached with a bit of humor. Because a soul dying and going to hell is not funny. There's nothing to laugh about with people destroying their souls. God's not having fun. I've heard people say, oh, God's up there just being amused with us. God is not amused. He will laugh. He will laugh at the hardness and the fact that men think that they can rebel against him and just reject his calling and just win out and over him. But listen to me. His purpose is to see you saved. He wants to see and he wants to make something of you. He has a great desire to take and to form you. I don't care who you are, where you come from. But only the potter can do this. No one else. You say, well, preacher, I've gone to these 12 steps. 12 steps of what? Your step needs to be to God. Somebody said, well, I want to conquer alcohol. There it is. You think he can't take that away from you? Yeah. Oh, preacher, I want to conquer drugs. Yeah. Come. You know who the answer of these problems are that we have?
Him. He made us. He can correct anything in our lives. Is there anything too hard for God? Is his arm shortened that he can't reach down and touch you? But look at the potter. Look how tenderly he molds you. But yet when he needs to put pressure on you, he can put pressure on you. But it's all for your good. Amen. Trying to get you to humble, to admit yourself, come down, get down in place where you come to God and you cry to God and you cry out to God. Because God giveth grace to the humble. He resists the proud. You up here, you'll never find God. You got to find God down here. God gives grace to the humble. Now, only God has ability to take clay. And he speaks to each of us. I could sit here and say, well, this is what God's trying to do with Cliff. Above my pay grade. Yep. And by the way, it's above your pay grade too. Yep. Well, so-and-so, he ought to be doing this. I know the Lord's calling him to. No, the Lord will speak to Cliff about Cliff. He speaks to me about me. And he speaks to you about you. Yep. Nobody else has ability to know what God's doing with you. Only you and God. And by the way, don't go and say, you're saved, you're saved, you're saved, you're saved, you're saved. That's between you and God. If you're saved, God's big enough to let you know. But don't you try to convince somebody else that they're saved. If they're not saved, by all means, they need to be saved. Amen? God's not playing games. He's for real. He so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that he would come and place the sins of the whole world upon him, and in the wrath of suffering the wrath of God, he would die for the sins of the whole world. And when you reject Jesus, you trod the blood of Jesus under your feet, and you will face the wrath of God. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth upon him. The wrath of God is God's stored up anger that he's going to pour out on those who reject. Turn, if you would, real quickly, to two places. I'm going to close with these two places. Look, if you would, in Proverbs chapter 29, real quickly. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Verse number 1. He that being often reproved, what? Hardeneth his neck, shall be what? Suddenly be destroyed, and that without what? Let me ask you this. Listen to me. God ever deal with you? Those of you may be listening out there. You harden yourself against God. You know what's going to happen one of these days? You say, I thought he could take clay and remold it. He absolutely can. If you'll get submissive and come to him in a state of repentance and come to him in a state of humility, he'll make something out of your life. But you continue to reject him. You continue to reject him. You keep getting harder and harder and harder. And soon you will be nothing but a vessel that has to be broken. Look, if you would, one more place. Matthew chapter 27. I'm going to close here. Matthew 27. And by turn. People don't like to preach about the sovereignty of God. And some have taken it to a degree where they've taken the will of man out of it. You can't take the will of man out of it. God gave us a will that we have choices that we make. But we have consequences of the choices that we make. But look, if you would, in Matthew chapter 27. Notice, if you would, in verse number 7. And they took counsel, and they bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Now, if you remember, it was Judas went and he hung himself over it. And fell down into it. Listen to me, please. You know what hell is? Hell is a potter's field of rejected, hardened pottery that could have been molded into something and made themselves submissive into the maker's hand, and he could have made something out of them, a vessel of honor, a vessel of glory. They could live in heaven forever. They could enjoy praising the Lord forever. They could enjoy singing a song of the blood of the Lamb. They could enjoy a life without pain, without suffering, without sorrow. But because they rejected their maker, because they hardened themselves, as many times they don't want to hear preaching. They don't want to hear hell mentioned. I preached in a church out in Nancy one time 30-some years ago, and the woman walked out and said, 9 years since I heard hell mentioned in this church. People said, I'll go to places that tells me how good I am. And yes, you'll die in hell one of these days too, because you're a marred vessel, and you better submit yourself into the hands of the mighty living God. He can make you. He can change you. His grace, his mercy. He doesn't want to see you go to hell. But my friend, you keep hardening yourself, and you get to a place where God can do nothing with you. And he'll break you in hell. And forever you'll be in torments of hell. Suffering. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. You will. But don't wait till it's too late to believe it. Don't strive against your maker. The potter, he has a principle. And he's then declared what his principle is. Those that reject my son, I'll reject you. Those that come to me, no man will pluck you out of my hand. This morning, you're standing before a holy, just, living God that will be our judge one of these days. And right now, it is either thrilling to you to know that you're secured underneath the blood of his son, or it's threatening to know that in a moment, Deuteronomy said he set me in slick places, slippery places, and in a moment you can slip. Let me use this illustration, and we'll give the invitation. How many of you have ever walked down a creek full of moss? How many of you laid on your backside because you walked down this creek? That's how God describes lost individuals. They'll be going along, and all of a sudden their feet will slip. And in hell, they'll look up being in torments. My friend, it's too late to do anything now. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You may be here this morning and not saved, and you need to come. Maybe you hear and you say, preacher, I made a profession, but I know in my heart I was not. Maybe you need to come. And you may be here and be saved, and God's bidding you to come. Because there's things in your life that's got you away from him, and he wants to remold you and get you back on track. Amen. But you got to come. Would you come this morning as we give a song of invitation? How about it? As we stand. Boy, if you see the potter, and you know the potter, you're not scared of the fact that he's in charge of everything, that he's a sovereign God. I don't know about you, I kind of like that idea. You know why? I don't have to fret nothing about this world, because I know God will take care of everything, because he is in charge of it all. Amen.